This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. Okay, sorry for the late podcast. Homeschool, online school is kicking my butt. So I'm a little late today. Didn't end up going to the States. That's been postponed. And yeah, so no worries there. There was really no good reason to go this early. So yeah, I'll pray and then we'll get started. Lord, I pray for this last section of our topic. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we're thanking you that we're discovering where we find our strength to carry out your great commission. And hopefully we are noticing the pitfalls in our own life where we sort of take the reins and decide for you instead of waiting on you. And we thank you and we praise you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I found in my life that there's a lot of passages that talk about waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that wait on the Lord won't be ashamed, etc., etc. A lot in the Psalms. So, I think in our busy culture, this is sort of a bygone thing. But from my own testimony, waiting on the Lord is not passive at all. At all. And it's not a high-minded idea either. It's not, let me do busy down here. But yes, I'm waiting on the Lord in a theoretical sense. And it's not just do nothing. It's not passive. And a lot of times it's rather painful. Because as you wait, God digs. I mean, you're not moving around. You're not going off on your rabbit trails or whatever. Or trying that thing or doing that thing. You're allowing God. You're holding still before God. And allowing God to sift through the junk that you can't take on with you to your next step, to your calling at large. We are going to go to the last J of our series. We did Joshua, Jeremiah, and now we're getting to Jesus. We are in John 6. The podcast before we went John 4 and 5, and now we're in John 6. And we're seeing, and this might be rather short, but we're seeing Christ's testimony. First of all, one of the reasons that he ended up on the cross, according to the Pharisees, was that he claimed to be God. And this is true, except that he was God, and he did not sin. And here is a example of how he was God, but regarded himself as, getting cords out of the way, but did not take on that role as God. He took on the role as servant and to do the will of the Father. Now, I say this and I dig in a little further because if God himself walked on this earth and waited for his, I mean, if anyone's going to have good ideas what to do for God, it's Jesus, who knew God, who spent eternity with God, who had all the perks, as it were, and had perfect communion with God, had the power of God, became who would know better what God would want, would like him to do? Okay, I got it, you know, and I got the game plan. Going to Earth now. I packed my bags. I'll see you at the end of this tour. And, yeah. See you later. Got in his, galactic school bus or whatever it was, headed down to Earth. When we see that Jesus wasn't presumptuous, when he knew God, was God, had perfect fellowship with God the Father, and yet he submitted to that daily listening. It's really, I mean, once we really comprehend that, what have I been doing? Trying to run my own ministry, trying to run my own life, trying to get that figured out on my own, trying to run that game from memory, trying to manipulate that, whatever it is. If God himself on the earth was like, no, yes, God wants me to do that. God doesn't want me. Took the time to pray. Took the time to have devotions. God had devotions. It's mind-blowing. And it isn't so much about, well, did you have your devotions this morning? Do you have a relationship? Is that thriving? Did you give that an opportunity to thrive this morning? Did you make the space? Sarah, did I make the space? Right now my time is at 9, apparently. But Zeke will come in and I'll just be on my face and I'll be like, he's a talker. And so he'll want to talk. And I'll be like, I can't. He's like, you're praying? I'll just be on my face for an hour. Just pouring out what is going on. And he knows, and I don't have to say, I mean, sometimes I have to say, you know, you need to be quiet. This is God time. But I don't know where I would be without that. Running off making too many decisions for myself, I know that. Running off missing the plays. I mean, imagine that, you know, you're playing football and one of the guys thinks he knows all the plays and so he never comes to the huddle. What is that? That's what we do. We read it once and now we're running. And we don't re-engage. We don't come back to the circle. We don't take our cues. It's hit and miss with us. And so we end up in this no man's zone, right? I know I should be doing that. So I keep rechecking if I'm still a follower of Christ. And you are, you're a Christian. But you're in this gray, hitting up against walls. That failed. I tried that. I did that. That didn't work over there. God must not care. And it's back for, okay, am I really a Christian? And it's, you know, it's the no man's zone. Because you never surrendered. And you never said, this life is yours. And in order for me to figure out what you want for me, I've got to be quiet. And I got to let you work. And I got to come continuously and seek your face. So we're in verse 29 of chapter 6. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent, being him, Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe me. All that the Father gives me will come to me." There's a waiting there. There is a lack of presumption. There's an openness. And he was God. "And the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up at that last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Now we'll raise him up." Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.